the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Bar cop, here he is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Today, we're going to review the candidates' resumes for the KUA CEO position. And I think I'd like to ask some direction from our search man here to give us some idea of procedure and what is normally done so we can do it correctly.
Well, the simple answer is we want to pick the people we want to interview. Hopefully you've all gotten a copy of the report which summarizes the search effort and copies of the resumes of the candidates that we presented. In the report, you can see I listed, based on the conversations that we had, the criteria that we had established for who you want to consider. And it's listed there. I don't think I need to read it. The candidates are broken down really into fundamentally three categories. There's the internal candidates, and as you can see, the four people you might have expected put their hat in the ring. The candidates that we identified through our outreach effort, external candidates, and then the candidates who responded to the ad, which is pretty small. So they're categorized. I created a summary for each of the external candidates. I'm assuming you know the internal people pretty well, but I created a summary of the external candidates just to give you an overview. And then I highlighted those that I thought most closely aligned with the predetermined specifications with an asterisk. So what it boils down to is of the people who responded to the ad, there were a couple that had some potential, but I didn't see any of them as closely aligned with some of the other folks that we identified. The people that we did identify, there was four that I thought fairly closely aligned with what we had established as a criteria. And then there's four internal. So I think the question is, if you have questions of me, of the candidates, and where we would go next as to which individuals you'd like to interview and move forward in the process.
Okay, yes.
Can I make one suggestion that we pull the four internal candidates and decide that we're going to interview all four of them without look more intensively?
I think that's a good idea.
And while we're on that subject, there is a sad rumor going around that we will only choose internally. And that may have stopped some of the people who might have applied from applying. And I heard that when I went to FMPA the other day for a committee meeting. And that's sad, and I don't know how we can back it up or how we can.
Well, I think I can see why that was assumed, and that's probably why you didn't get a lot of, because they understand that we have a good organization here and that we have good candidates, so they may think we're not going up for it.
But the statement was that we would only choose internally, so that's...
Well, that's, of course, not true.
And I'm kind of reinforcing that by saying, let's put this aside, but I say that also saying we need to look carefully at these and decide who we want to interview and go from there, of the external ones.
Exactly.
Well, when I spoke with candidates... And I interviewed all the ones the ones that I indicated I didn't interview for obvious reasons. Somebody that sold perfume I didn't think was a likely candidate for president of KUA. But that aside, I told them point blank, there were internals. Anytime there's an internal, it could have an inclination. But I said, there is no predetermined conclusion. As a matter of fact, I said the board was kind of split. Some favor internal and some favor external. So we did not run into that at all in talking to the candidates that we talked to.
Okay.
If I may,
yes, sir.
But I think that in this board meeting, it was made very clear that we knew we had good experience candidates in-house, but this is why we were going outside to look and see if we're missing something. And so I think that direction that came out of here came that way, where someone takes it in a different, we can't control if someone takes it in a different way, but it's always good to say that we have good talent in-house.
Well, I think we had to do our due diligence.
Yeah, but we're doing our due diligence.
In other words, if we had just not gone out, it would have been not right either. We needed to go out to find the very best.
But I believe that this board sent that message very loud into the community and anyone else. So if someone took it in a different direction, I guess it's on them.
To me, if they're not hungry enough to apply, they don't want it.
Exactly. That's my message.
They don't think enough of themselves to put their name in the pot, no matter who they're going against.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
And what people will think of us if we don't think that we have talent inside our company.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
So, but I believe, Madam Chair, that the message that was sent was a positive message. I never remember sending a negative message that we weren't going to go outside to find talent.
I think you're always going to get some people that have a negative comment, but hopefully it's not too much, and that what we do is going to be met with approval all over the state.
And if I may, while I read some of this, and today I had to get a package from here, so I had to go back and start marking again because I haven't been in my office since 7:30 this morning. Out of the internal ones, and I know you marked four that look like good potentials, me personally, as I read through them and been looking and finding out who they are and what they've done, there's three out of those four that really stand out to me personally.
Well, I think we have to get into this.
No, I'm just saying that out of the four that you marked, three of them jumped out at me.
Thank you.
Very good. Very good. So the way we want to proceed is to go, we're going to take the four internal candidates out of the, and just say we're going to interview. Well, let's make it official. So we want to start with, the next one would be Galen Gillum.
I will tell you, I've gotten probably three contacts from individuals that I know and respect to gave me very high recommendations on him and thought he was ready for the job. I don't have an asterisk by him because he hasn't had that broader responsibility. I mean, it comes down to if you're going to get somebody who has a piece, why go outside and get it when you have it inside?
I feel the same way on this person. It didn't stand out at all.
To me, it was the opposite. I was wondering why you didn't put an asterisk next to him.
Well, for that reason, just the breadth of his experience. I mean, he's got a great, if I didn't think he was any good, he would not be here. He's got a great reputation. I've gotten very positive responses to him. He's done a very good job, both for the city of Denton and for the Denton Municipal Utility. It's just he hasn't been at that broader upper level management yet. Could he get there? Yeah, probably. I just think it gets to a coin toss between him and somebody on the inside.
I guess one concern I had was he had a very short tenure in his job as director of capital projects. That was his highest ranking job, and he was only there from August until January.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was in the utility part of it, it wasn't real strong.
That's very few months to be a director.
I think the ones you marked, they're all excellent. Again, three of them stood out a little bit more than the other ones.
Well, is Gillum
going back to Gillum, when I was doing research on it, and I actually found some differences. That's what's posted in his LinkedIn account as far as his items to be. There were a couple of them where the amounts were very different. One of them, it showed 400K plus program rather than a 600K plus, which is in the resume here. And it also showed a 300 plus million system upgrade program instead of 350 million. So there are disparities between what has been advertised on LinkedIn and what's in his current one. And also, it shows his current employer is Wexworth LLC. And employment ended with Freeze and Nichols in December of 2018.
Correct.
So that was not shown in his resume.
No, it says he's still working for Freeze and Nichols.
Yeah. So there were three instances there.
He did verbally tell me that he left Freeze and Nichols recently, but he hadn't changed the resume.
Is the reason why he left?
They didn't have the work. He was hired to develop similar work to what he was doing at the city of Denton, and it wasn't generating, and so he left.
Okay. Well, what's your feeling about? Is this somebody we need to talk to or not?
I say no. I say no. I mean, it's just my opinion.
How many no's do we have? Raise your hand. We have four voting ones. And okay, let's put him aside then. Next, we go to Jason Gray.
I do have him marked with an asterisk for a variety of reasons. It's a not identical but comparable size, 42,000 electric meters, 18,000 gas, water, and wastewater. They do have their own power generation. He's moved up pretty quickly, and I like the fact that he had completely different experience in telecom. Many of you had articulated a desire to get somebody who could explore at least other revenue streams, and I thought, well, there's somebody that's been doing just that. He built a telecom business, and he's been running gas, water, and sewer. He is on the board of a wholesale power supplier, AMP, a very large one in Ohio. He's done some distributed generation renewable, and I knew this because I know Danville. They don't pay competitively, and at $130,000, it's very affordable. I don't know the guy personally. The investigation I've done has been pretty positive. He's running an organization of 175, so there's a lot of comparability to this fellow that I think is.
Andy, did you have something
to say? I was going to say, that's like a department in the city. He's not a separate entity.
The utility. He reports up to a city manager, but he's got to report to the city council. He's on the board of directors of a wholesale power supply entity.
He doesn't have HR and other things within his
he's missing. He would be missing some of that. Yes, okay. That is okay. Correct. That is correct.
Any other comments?
In the research that I did, I found more information on him than any other candidate. And to me, it was all positive. There was a cold snap with higher electric bills, and there were a lot of unhappy customers. And he addressed that. They looked at electric cars. He had a pole replacement project that was written about. And back in 2008, it was found that some churches were charged the wrong rate, and they went back and refunded all the churches the money that was due them.
He stood out pretty much to me. I mean, I've read into him, and I've looked in more information. And
Kathleen, you had something to say.
Well, to me, his one area that probably isn't as whatever as some folks is, he's got a bachelor's degree in business administration. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have the education that a lot of the people would have with either a master's in business administration, an undergrad in engineering, or whatever. Knowing that, I guess if we've got enough confidence in him, and maybe we can sum him up when we talk to him and find, you know, it's evident that he worked his way through his education. He's been at Danville all this time and started with his AA and went on and got his BA. So there's a lot of effort in getting education. It just hasn't gone beyond the bachelor's.
I had a question here that a lot of his experience is in tech and telecommunications. seems to be the overriding amount. And I think we went there at one point in our history, and we don't want to go back. So I don't know if that's something that would be.
Or do we?
Well,
there might be something there. I wouldn't discount.
I think that's why I'd have an opportunity to at least being able to interview him.
That's fine with me. That's what I did. Yeah. There's a lot of tech there and not a lot of management and,
yeah.
And I think that's
electrical.
Where, mm-hmm. I think that's where he's low on the electrical side. So we want to keep him for an interview?
I think you should.
Yeah. Okay, is that yes? Oh, down here on this side too?
Yeah.
Okay. Next, we go to Lisa Hall.
I think Lisa, similar to Galen, has pieces, but not all of the requirements. You can see that she's with a public power entity out in California. It's smaller. She manages more what I would call the support functions, probably similar to Susan Poston's background. She ran had a similar job, or at least a chief financial officer at a smaller electric cooperative up in Idaho. Very ambitious. She wants to become general manager. I admire her for that. But I don't see her a whole lot different than Susan, to be perfectly blunt.
I have enough experience in power. That was my question.
Well, to me, her background is very different than Susan. She's a CPA. She's got the financial.
Well, that's true.
This tied
I'm talking
up.
About her current role.
Her current role, she's only had 1 year in electric industry
right.
administration.
Yeah.
She had 4 years in finance and electricity, so she'd be real good on the financial end, but
we have a finance officer.
Yep.
Which would be good with if we were looking for a chief financial officer.
That was my thought. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also believe the same way. I don't think that she's the type of candidate that we're looking for.
Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. Next one, is it Makot or Mokoti?
Makot.
He's in a similar role at the municipal utility in Alexandria, Louisiana. You can see he's got fewer electric but a lot of gas and water customers. They have their own generation. He is on the board of the statewide G&T. It's similar to FMPA. Hmm. He's got an organization of 280. He's ridiculously underpaid at 110. What's got him interested or thinking about it is they recently had a mayor decide not to run for re-election. He reports to the mayor. So life is a little bit unusual for him. He never knows from election to election whether he's got a job. But the mayor that had been a longtime mayor decided not to run. The current mayor has made noises about selling the utility to the local investor-held utility, which has further made him nervous. So,
any questions about him?
Well, and he was involved in a very strange lawsuit back in 2009 where he was directed even by the courts to turn over some information, and it was a whole big political thing. You read some of that too. And it sounded like it went on forever, and he was not found to have any issues, responsibilities.
He was able to clear. Yeah, he was clear.
But I'm sure, having been through that politically, you wouldn't want to be diving back into political. It was the city versus the Civil Services Commission, and somehow somebody was having their meter read, and the court required him to come in and turn over information, and he did that, and then he was sued because he did what he was told by the court to do, and it got appealed and appealed and appealed, and you may be able to summarize.
You know, I admire what the guy went through. I mean, and he stood his ground. He did mm-hmm. his job. He did what he was supposed to do, and that can happen.
He was one of my top. He's one of my top picks.
Yeah, he's one of mine too, because, you know, when we go through something like this, it's not easy, but as long as you know that you haven't done anything wrong, you stick to your guns, and then you come through, and that's the way he did. So this is something that really stood out.
I was impressed with everything
I was very impressed about this guy. He's one of my...
I kind of chalk that up to Louisiana politics. You know, that is the home of Huey Long.
Yeah. Madam Chair, I really like this guy a lot.
Did everybody like to interview this person?
Yeah.
Okay, then we'll go ahead and interview him. Let's go to Robert Magara.
Rob McGarra.
Gara.
He's probably the guy I know the best. I put him in Tallahassee maybe 30 years ago. I followed him for a long time. He's a good guy. He's done a very good job in Tallahassee.
Yes.
You know Tallahassee. He's run electric for a long time. He ran power generation. He's running a bigger utility. They just have a different governance structure with a city manager, city council, and he would like to work for a board. He thinks that would be a more desirable.
Talk about tough politics there in Tallahassee.
I left you when this and the water was in politics in Kissimmee. So did Jim. So yeah. It's not pretty.
I think he's very good. Very good. I like Rob. I think he's really capable.
Yeah,
I know him personally.
He's my second choice between him and the gentleman before him.
Yeah. How does everybody else feel?
There was, when I went out and did my research, I did find where he was sued by a city employee for nepotism, but I was not able to find out how the lawsuit ended.
And there's a current lawsuit against him, too, and I couldn't find anything about it.
I was sued all the way to the Florida Supreme Court. To remove me from office.
Anybody can be sued.
How do you feel here?
The sense of you. I believe, Madam Chair, to me, this is another candidate that we have that is excellent between him and the gentleman before that we talked about. Those are the two that really stand out to me out of all the ones that he marked. Those are the two that really.
What about the other board members? How do you feel?
Yeah.
I think we could interview him, but are we allowed to go into the information that has been discovered and question him about it?
Why not?
Well,
I'm just asking.
Part of, I would.
That was open records. That was public records.
The reason you can't do that.
But what if the case has been.
Now, he's probably not going to talk about it if it hasn't been resolved. Would be my guess.
Oh, is it? One of them goes back to 17. The other one.
And there could be a confidentiality agreement or something. But he'll tell you that.
But he'll tell us. Yeah.
I would ask him.
Yeah.
I think
we can ask different questions of different people we're interviewing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Whether they want to answer to you or not. And he might just say that there's a confidentiality agreement on the result of that case and he can't discuss it. Then we have to respect that.
You do notice that we're not. We interview everybody we have.
Well, my feeling was that there's only a few people outside the four internal, and there should be no reason why we cannot interview every one of them.
No, I mean, they don't stand out. The other ones just don't.
Well, you might run into a time problem.
Yes, just like today.
But so far we have two people to interview and choose from those two.
Three.
Oh, no, we have all
we have
these.
Three. We have seven.
Seven.
Seven up to this point.
Seven already. To interview?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we got the four internal and three already.
Internal, yeah.
Yeah, so
that's not enough, but
there's
only a few people external.
You can do about four a day, probably, if you do it right.
You'll work hard, but we can do four a day.
Okay, so, hands, are we going to interview Magara?
Magara.
Magara. Yes. Yes? Yes. And then you can ask the questions.
Okay.
Here we go to
now. These people you interviewed over the phone only. You don't know.
I have interviewed them, but Rob, I interviewed for another job about a year ago.
Outside him. What about everybody else? You know them.
Phone interview. Yes, and what I would call preliminary background investigation, to where verify that good character, good performance, that sort of thing.
Did you go on the internet like they did and look them up?
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure.
And do you pay to be able to access criminal records and that
we,
kind of stuff?
We could do that when you get down to who you select. Okay. You do that. I will tell you right now that, and Jim could say this, every CEO on the planet could have a lawsuit, because this gets into where the lawyer has to opine as to whether it's material or not. Because a lot of times you're sued because you run the utility and you didn't have a doggone thing to do with anything. It's just, you're just the target.
Yeah.
And Tallahassee is, because of where it is, gets a lot of lawsuits. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that Rob has done that I can find anywhere that would warrant him being sued for being misbehavior, illegal, whatever.
Okay, we've already decided to interview him anyway, so let's go on to Nolte. I'm just wondering.
Ray, I'm going to bet you found the problem with him.
It's written right here.
Yes, it is.
So when I talked to Terry, the disagreement with his board was over their participation in the newly formed Joint Action Agency. Terry called his board and said, would his board chair be willing to talk to me? Board chair said, no, we'll have the lawyer talk to him. The lawyer confirmed in email, because I said, look, if you have a thing on the internet that says somebody's dismissed for administrative leave, it could be everything from sexual harassment to embezzlement to Lord knows. I said, these are fatal. And the lawyer wrote back and he says, he's done nothing to the fatal, but the board doesn't want to comment on his departure. Mm. So he hasn't done what I call the really bad stuff, but somewhere along the line, he and the board went off the rails with each other.
I
think we have enough to...
If someone doesn't want to give a recommendation, it's a problem.
That's right.
He was a finalist for Austin. He interviewed for the Austin CEO, and he was a finalist. So somebody thought he was...
Well, the guy has done a good job in a lot of different areas. It's, you know, this is like a horrible accusation. How do you disprove, you know, is what it boils down to.
So the accusation is they were going into a joint action agency and he didn't want to?
No, he wanted to and they didn't like it because behind the scenes what I'm being told is they had a power plant. You go into a joint action agency and this power plant is a high cost item.
Yeah.
But if you go into it, you don't need it. And the union and the people losing the jobs don't like it. So this is Terry's contention. This was what the disagreement was. The board won't comment on anything more than he didn't do the fatal flaws. So I know he's not abusing employees. He's not sexually harassing employees. He's not embezzling money. But I look at it and I say, you're going to get criticized every way but Sunday for everything you do. Do you want to hire somebody that as soon as they get on the internet, this is going to be in the news?
My thing is, we have some very good people to interview, and we have some very good internals to the interview. Mm-hmm. And I think we can be very choosy about who we don't interview. And I think with this, I think I don't think that we need to do it just because of what could happen.
I feel the same way.
Does anybody agree with me or not?
We all agree, yeah. No interview.
Well, if I could throw something in, and obviously if you decide not to hire anybody that you've already interviewed, this list is still here. You know, there's always another opportunity to go back to them.
That's true. So we'll put him aside. Then we go to Dale Oliver.
I like Dale. By process of elimination, I'm betting that he's on my list and not on the mayor's. And what I like about him is he's got the Florida background. He was very high up in Florida Progress. Built his own, you know, was instrumental in building a consulting practice, which is, okay, you had experience in something other than a utility. He intrigues me. He's got an interesting background.
He really does, but he wants to retire in 8 years.
Correct.
Exactly.
But I will tell you, you're going to be talking to people who will retire within 8 years.
Yes,
in all likelihood. Inside.
Based on the years of experience, and some of them, they're definitely
close to retirement.
I will tell you right now, you're not going to get someone to work here for 36 years. Or is it 37, Jim?
36.
We don't want anybody here that.
We don't want that one.
I just want to make sure that he doesn't want it to, I don't know.
And all of his background is in transmission type things. It's not the hitting the pavement, talking to the people kind of stuff. It's.
Well, when he ran that division in St. Petersburg, he was in the delivery side to retail customers. He did do that.
Yeah.
He doesn't put it all together in a president general manager role. He's just got all these different pieces. I could be totally wrong, but he intrigued me, which is why I had him on my list.
Madam Chair, I mean the four that Carl marked, and this is the one that really, it, you know, he's impressive, but it doesn't stand out like the other three candidates that we have in there. And out of those three, one of them really stands out.
And you got four good people inside.
Me personally, I think we have good enough candidates.
We have some other board members that want to say something.
But I hadn't finished my sentence, so you caught me in the middle of my conversation.
I'm sorry.
I think that we have good enough candidates that we need to think of, let's interview the ones that are really standing out to us of what we're really looking for. And I'm done now.
Okay, Chair. I'm sorry that I did. She was over here. What? Ethel.
Comment. Okay. Comment. No, whatever the board, he looks like a decent candidate, you know, comparing to the others. He's not too far. He has the experience. He has the proper degrees that we were looking for. He has a master's in business. He has the electrical engineering. So he definitely qualifies. So I would be in favor of at least interviewing him.
I kind of feel the same way, and the 8 years bothers me. But based on the number of years experience of some of the others, we're talking 8 years or less with
everybody.
Three or four.
Yeah, but of course, those people have been here. He's going to take a couple of years, a year or two to get.
No, of some of the others that we're
in here.
Bringing in.
Yeah, we got to be careful. We don't want to open up a Pandora's box when we start talking about retirement, because that relates to something else that could be considered discriminatory.
Why is that?
Age.
Because we're looking out for the best interest of this company.
And oh, no,
like
no.
Ms. Thacker said, this is a person that's coming from the outside to learn what we do here. It's going to take him several years. And then after it takes those several years, then before you know it, he's ready to retire. We need somebody that's going to be here long enough where already knows what they're doing and can get the person behind him moving forward to move up. That's the way I look at it. I don't see anything that's discriminatory to look at.
So
he disclosed it in his paperwork. I'm retiring in 8 years.
Well, I asked him point blank.
It's on the phone.
I asked him, you know, how long you want to work? He said 8 years. I don't care how old somebody is. I care about how long they want to work.
I don't think that's even an issue because people retire at 50. So
exactly. That's why I don't care
think
how
that
old they
has
are.
Anything to do
I
with
want to know
just,
how long they want to work. If they're
my thought was that I'm looking for a dynamic leader that wants to push us forward, that has new ideas and has a dynamic push.
Yeah, we need someone that besides having good performance, that we get proud of him and the city is proud of him, the customers are proud of him. He has presence, you know, that he represents us with integrity and ethic and anything that will enhance what we already have, and also a lot of energy. So regardless of his age, that person has to have the energy to really push us forward. And that's what we're looking for. So I think that looking at the person, talking to the person, is going to help us determine that. And just looking at the paper and saying this person is good or bad and eliminating them, that's no good. That's my opinion. So
well,
I
agree.
Two or five or seven or one.
I think what you're deciding is who to interview, not who to hire. Because you're right. Until you get them in front of you and all of that, you're not going to know which one you want to hire. Because you're right. You don't know how well they're going to represent you. You don't know how energetic they're going to be.
Do we want to take his word for it and just go ahead and interview this person then?
Yes, I think we should interview him. I think he's got as much possibility as some of the others.
Very good. Okay, that was, now we go to external candidates responding to the posting. And that would be Andreas.
Phil Andreas, I like his background. The only reason I don't have him asterisked is because the last two jobs he was in fairly short period of times and they're much smaller municipals, but he's got a good background. If you talk to him, there's no doubt he comes from New York. Well, then you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Instead of saying resemble, say
resemble. He was in Texas less than a year.
Yes, I think he's got a good background.
To New York. Right. No, but I mean, as the director, he was only there a year.
I'm surprised he lasted a year in Texas.
Well, actually, Manny, to be precise, he told me his wife said, enough of the country. I want to go back to the city.
She doesn't want to come here.
Well, man. Even in the information on the internet, it pretty much said that, too. Yeah.
I think the guy's got a good background. I mean, about the only thing is I think some of the other folks are stronger in terms of how long they've been in similar position, similar organizations, you know, the absent, I mean, he wants to be in Florida, but he's not really, doesn't have any particular ties or any experience here.
Well, and he's only been the director of public utilities less than a year in Texas, and that was back in 14. So since then, he's been at a fairly small place.
Okay, does anybody... What do you think about this person?
He's not as strong as the other ones that we've reviewed. So I would say not to interview because we have real strong candidates. Now we're going to see what happens when they're in front of us.
Well, my thought about him is he's going to go into culture shock coming down in here from a big place in New York City and. Will his wife be
back? He's on Long Island, actually, to be more precise.
Long Island and Kissimmee are quite different. And having some warm weather may not make up for it.
Well, he has a home in St. Petersburg.
He's familiar with Florida.
Yeah, but that's not Kissimmee. It's just, I'm just wondering. So let's go on to the next person. Jesus?
Brazo. I don't see either of the next two being even close. I didn't even bother to call them.
He didn't have paperwork on them either.
I looked up a lot on him in Puerto Rico, and it wasn't too you know, you have to do, look and see his PREPA, and there comes problems.
I got a problem with anybody at the Puerto Rican authority.
Well, it wasn't that. He's very well known up there, and it wasn't a positive.
I'm sorry. I just didn't
see the background, having the breadth to do this job, which is why I didn't even bother to call him.
And the guy has experience. It just, you know, I checked with my friends up there, and they're like, really? It's applying for you guys?
Okay, well, then let's go on to, Sean.
That's the one that's sold.
I just didn't see.
Okay. No, he
acts like when you read his resume, it acts like a line superintendent at a little tiny municipal utility in Georgia.
We want to go past him. Pandy?
I know Joe
really well. Joe is very good. Very good. Did quite well in Cleveland and quite well in Lansing until he and the mayor got crossways, and then it was a big, long lawsuit. Mm. That ultimately Joe won and they lost, but the issue is since Lansing it's been unpredictable tenure.
That doesn't sound.
Yeah, you can see he quit all of a sudden after 7 months, and there was some sort of a dispute. And
well, let's go on to Mr. Schmidt.
Bill I think he's got a reasonable background on the distribution side of the business, but his knowledge of the generation wholesale FMPA is almost non-existent. So when I look at that compared to the other candidates, I didn't see where he stacked up as well.
Well, he has an MBA and CPA, so he's mainly a business executive more than a manager.
And I didn't like that the last couple jobs, although one wasn't really listed that way in his resume, it was really an interim job. You know, he's been interim CEO of a couple utilities.
You got to ask yourself, why didn't he become the CEO?
He tells me he didn't want it because he wants to go someplace warmer.
But he goes into an interim job and no more.
What does that say for him? That he wants to come here because he wants to get warm.
I come down to your job is to do the best for KUA, not the best for so-and-so.
So what's our feeling? Do we want to interview him or not?
Nope.
Okay, on to the next one. Mr. Shepherd.
I think Bill's a pretty sharp...
Question mark about him.
Bill's a pretty sharp guy, and in Florida, it's... Compared to the other candidates, he's just more one-dimensional. In other words, he's got the customer side, but he doesn't have the generation, doesn't have the transmission, the distribution, he doesn't have the operation.
That doesn't work for us.
I mean, individually, I was pretty
impressed. He's responsible for strategic direction leadership of 12 departments, customer service, administrative service, purchasing, real estate, facilities management, security, new services, mail services, billing, collections, cashiers.
I think he's a sharp guy.
I don't know. I just...
It's all there except for the engineering kind of part of it.
Yeah.
Well, we have an engineer. My biggest thing is he only directed four directs, which is not a lot.
We need four directs, but his whole total organization is 126. So he's got four managers managing 126.
Mm-hmm. And then... So is he the equivalent of one of our vice presidents?
Susan.
Yes, Susan.
He impressed me as sharp, but just not broad enough.
Yeah, you got to have at least some kind of experience in the power generation side. And
I think we need to have somebody, and this will come in later on when we're interviewing and after that, is that we need somebody to go into the community also that has some background in belonging to service organizations or community organizations, because I think that's been a very important part of what we like at KUA. So down the line, I'd like to see that. So. So what do we do with Mr. Shepherd?
And he's done some of that down here.
We have a passage. Anybody want it? We've got Ethel. What do you think?
No.
Then we go to Mr. Trent.
Jim applies for everything.
Well, he has a very long experience. He tells us what he is. Very long paragraph.
It's a book.
No. I don't think he stands out.
No.
I don't think he has anything that what we're looking for. So, but what about Miss Rosie?
Perfume salesman, I think she'd be real good.
Unfortunately, she doesn't meet the qualifications.
Yeah, the qualifications are not there.
Then why did she come to us? Why do we have her?
Responded to the ad.
Oh, so
and it's a public process.
You didn't get a hold of her at all. This is just. We got, she, okay.
If somebody asks you who applied, you have all the people who applied.
Very good. Okay, this is the end of our people, so let's go over who we're going to be interviewing.
Okay, it's in there, hang on.
What about the perfume lady?
We might need that,
yeah. This is it right here, then.
Good. New Orleans, we tried to sell us all sorts of perfume, huh? Yeah. What if she was one of them?
No, okay.
We got it off track.
Yeah.
So we have Mr. Gillum,
No.
Oh, we're not?
Gray, Michael, Mygar, and...
What I've done is I have got them all mixed up.
Oliver.
Seven altogether, right?
Four, or eight. Four outside, four inside.
Okay, who is, besides, I need the first two that, besides Marcotte and McGray.
Right, Jason Gray, Michael Marcotte, and Rob McGarrah, and Dale Oliver from the outside.
What's with the asterisk by?
The asterisks are the people I thought most closely aligned with, what you had described, what you wanted.
Those are the four that we selected.
Follow your direction.
Okay, I have, I have four, okay.
Jay Gray, Marcotte, McGarth, and Oliver.
Yes.
Internal candidates.
The four internals.
Makes eight.
Madam Chair, if I may, maybe you guys can think of this. Personally, I think we should interview the outside candidates so we could see what's coming. And then when we interview the candidates from inside, we can... Personal view.
It'd be a great idea, but what I would suggest is we figure out who can fit in what schedule. Because you might find somebody from the outside can't make the day when you want to interview the outside, and
yeah,
you miss an opportunity then.
Just an opinion.
I understand.
That would be my suggestion.
Because we already know
our
internals, and then we in interviewing the other people, we can certainly make a contrast.
We'll comply with that to the degree possible. When
right.
If necessary, we'll...
Yeah.
Have to move it around.
No, because we'll
it's a good idea. Yeah.
I suspect you'll learn things about
3 or 4 days.
3 days, 2 days.
2 days.
You're going to be busy.
We do four interviews a day.
But I had 3 days on my calendar that I blocked out.
The third day is.
Well, the 13th is the day you sit back and discuss the candidates to figure out which one you want to start negotiating with.
Are we going to do site visits? This is the next. That's the next question for me. Is when we get down to the. Three or whatever, will we be doing site visits? Because I found that site visits are extremely helpful when you go to where they are and talk to the people in the community about them. So
we need to get their
permission to do that, because before getting a job offer, you put their job in jeopardy when you do that.
We've not left time to do that. We're interviewing them the 11th
yeah.
and 12th
okay.
and deciding the 13th.
I've never gone out and... So, I mean, they come to us, and we interview them, and we choose.
Well, Valencia, we went to, Sandy Schuchert is the person I interviewed, and I went out to Harris County and talked to all his constituents, and the airport manager when we hired him. Of course, those are bigger, they're bigger than we are, but.
The catch-22 you run into is that you go and interview, pick one of their bosses, and you don't hire them, and that person gets fired because he's been looking for a job.
Well, I had wanted to talk to them.
It's public record that because we discussed them here today. If
it is, but it can make life pretty miserable for them.
Or you could get into an area of discussion that is inappropriate.
That's true, too. I mean, that was just the thought. If we don't want to,
well,
that's fine.
Like and I had wanted to talk to them individually, not sitting here at the board meeting. But I've pretty much been dissuaded from doing that for all those reasons. Because they could say, I said this or I said that or whatever. So.
Oh, you mean individually?
Yeah. We can't.
Yeah, with your open record,
it would be wonderful if we could
dicey.
Talk to them in twos or threes, but.
We can't.
Because it's so stilted to bring them in here and question them. Which, have you got questions that you're recommending?
I have a whole menu of interview questions I can provide to you so that you pick and choose what you want. What you don't want.
Yeah, because sometimes what they answer will lead to another question.
I call it structured chaos. So you have roughly 15, 20 structured questions, but you leave it open because you can't script the answer to ask follow-up questions. So if you ask a structured question and the mayor says, what do you mean by X? He's free to do that. And then it creates this dialogue because you really need that dialogue. It's not just the structured answer. It's the dialogue that's going to tell you.
So it's just like reading one of these.
Exactly, because, I mean, the truth of the matter is you probably have four people on the outside that can do the job, And you have four people on the inside you know really well, but you will get to know them more when you interview them. I've not seen a situation where you interview internal people and somebody walks away and says, I didn't know that about them. It's just the natural course of doing an interview. But then when you have that dialogue, now you're getting to know the person. Because truthfully, there's two questions. You want to know what can they do and how they will do it. And it's that dialogue that's going to give you the how.
Can we choreograph this like we were around a round table out there one day when we were talking? So it's a talking to them situation as opposed to having them stand.
Yeah, if I were orchestrating, I'd have you sit there and I'd put the table right here.
That's what we did before.
Yeah. Well, we actually had a round table. So we were all around the round table.
Yeah, the whole board sat there.
Yeah, because then that way you can have this dialogue. This way, I'm just obnoxious, so it doesn't bother me when I'm standing up there. But it's much easier when you're all at the same level talking.
Yep. Yep.
Then you get to read the person better.
And we're not sitting behind a screen where...
I agree completely.
Okay, so if we can have the room set up...
Jim, can you have that done? We'll set up the room like that?
Sure will.
Greg?
Yes, I wanted to see whether or not... I would be interested in all the candidates' public speaking ability to maybe do a very short... summary or a presentation on whatever topic we choose. We'd have to choose the same topic for everybody, sure. Just to see how they all react to that.
Sure. Yeah.
Because talking back and forth is one thing, but I'd like to see their presentation skills.
And we need to give them a time limit.
Yeah, no more.
I had one guy who was supposed to do that for 10 minutes. He lasted 45. He was just afraid he didn't get the job.
I would say... You know, 3 to 5, no more.
The other question is, do we want Jim in on the interviews? And after the interviews, do we want him, his opinion? That'd be the two things that we...
Outside candidates, I don't see the problem. The inside candidates, I don't know if by having their boss sitting here can pull them back a little bit more and not be more themselves. I really want them to just be themselves.
No, I do understand. This is a question. I don't have an opinion one way or another, but it is, do we want him here and then ask his opinion when they're through?
I don't think we should ask his opinion because we've got four vice presidents, and if he gives an opinion,
that's true. It might look bad.
Three out of the four, and maybe four out of the four, are suddenly put in a...
I can tell you what one CEO told me once. He said, I've been with these people so long, they're like my kids, and you're asking me which of my kids I like the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, then that settles it.
I don't want to put them on the spot.
That's fine. I just, it was ask me, and I asked the question of the board, so that's fine with me. So.
Madam Chairman, can I make one quick comment?
Yes, please. You may, Mr. Lawyer.
Y'all have probably done this, but you go online, you look for questions that you're thinking about asking, and you're going to give us some sample questions, too. Is there something you could provide us, or should we encourage them maybe to on areas to stay away from?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, whichever you got.
Okay.
He's got a whole list. Don't ask age. Don't ask religion.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, can you?
Don't ask.
We need that disseminated to these folks.
Yeah.
No. Soon, probably.
He's probably got a standard list that you use as a standard thing for all of your interviews.
Well, not blanket, but we have some standard questions that we ask that contains the do's and don'ts.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that's what I'm saying.
And really, that could be addressing your age retirement question, because I would discourage you staying away from asking the applicant about their age or when they plan to retire, because that's a related question. Right. So it's
and
like asking
the same thing. That's what Manny was saying earlier.
Yeah. And the better question,
I have a question. I'll say, we can't predict the future, but how long can you commit to being our president?
And that's where you stay, because you want to work with your objective in the question. And that is, the ideal candidate will be able to work for moving the utility forward for the next 15 to 20 years. Can you respond to that? You see, it's phrased and it's only focusing on what you want them to do and not them, the person.
Yeah, my issue that I had is, He committed to that 8 years. Put it there.
Yes.
Now, well, exactly, because now he's on the hook.
And now he put us on the hook.
Yeah.
Because now we have it there. And so that's a double-edged sword.
But well, it's double-edged. What I was suggesting, Wilbur, I'm sorry, Wilbur.
That's all right.
But what I, and we talked about this earlier, but when you send an offer, I would say, spell out, and the lawyer can help you with this, you serve at the pleasure of the board, period. And you get, if you quit, you don't, you, if the board decides to fire you, you get a severance provision of X, whatever that is. If you quit, you don't get it. If you do something horrible, you don't get it. It's only if half the people get elected and they say, I don't like this person, get them out of here. Well, we don't have a reason to fire him. Well, if you have it that he serves at the pleasure of the board, he or she is out of there and you just pay him a dollar amount to have him go away.
But of course, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, is that okay? Okay. To the mayor's point, it's always acceptable if you are responding to an applicant, anything they presented, resume, their background, skills, and credentials, anything they said, or even if you have access to information on a public platform, a public media platform, you can ask those. So technically, you can ask applicants different questions. Your standard questions all will be the same. Technical background, skills, and credentials. So you don't want to ask an applicant anything different as the applicants are coming in. However, you can always ask for further clarification about what an applicant has just said. You can ask them about anything they presented to you or anything you found in public
form. Well, we certainly can ask them what their vision is.
I'm sorry?
We can ask them what their vision is.
Oh, sure. Oh, yes, ma'am.
I mean, that's...
But if that's
your number one...
Absolutely. What is the next step?
Right. If they're standing here and they say, my wife and my kids, and I would love to come here. We just opened up a whole realm of conversation. Because you can say, wow. But any issues affecting your wife and relocating? Because you can ask. He volunteered.
And will Wilbur be present at these interviews? I would think.
Oh, yes, Willard.
We can have Willard sit by you, and when we're getting ready,
we'll punch each other, and then we'll.
We'll give you half your salary. Okay? Hmm? We'll give you half your salary, Will, so you can sit next to me.
Well,
between the two of you, surely you can keep us out of deep water.
I'll be there too, so it'll be a three-way.
Well, that's good because I think this is going to be a very, very big, big decision we have to make. And I think we have to be kept on a point as to what we, in fact, we all might want to think about that before we start interviewing, is what you actually want in the new CEO. What do you want them to do? What are they just okay? Are they, their resumes are great, whatever. But what do we want them to do for us? When they come in, where do we want to go? Do they want to go there with us? What kind of ideas do they have for the future?
And
to me, that's what I want to know.
We kind of have to have a way to handle these eight people. When we've interviewed them, I don't know whether, I don't see how we can kind of discuss it like we have today and come up with a rank ordering. Maybe a place to start is for us to ourselves put them in order from 1 to 8. And then one of you guys compile and say, okay, the one with the lowest number is so-and-so, and start a conversation from there, because I don't know how we take 8 people and come up with a rank ordering. Or maybe the rank ordering can take us to the top 3, and then we hammered it out on the top 3.
Typically what I do is we'll pick an arbitrary number. You want to rank the top 5. So Mandy provides his, Ethel provides hers, mm-hmm. so forth and so on. Now, if they all align, world's perfect.
And that's not happening.
If they don't align, and Ethel's number 5 is your number 1.
Yeah.
Okay? But nobody else has number 1. So we say, all right, whoever had this candidate as number 1, why don't you advocate on their behalf? Why is that person number 1? You can say, what you liked, what you didn't like. Did it persuade the rest of the board? Now you re-rank them. If it doesn't persuade the rest of the board, most votes win. So you move to your top 14.
So we should come in the interview process, we should be prepared with a list of who we think are our favorites.
Right.
And then during the interview process, that will either be confirmed or it might change our mind.
It could.
And we would change the order.
Or you could do it after.
I don't think I'm going to put an order until I hear them.
Because you may not, Ethel may not say, I don't know how to rank them until I see them.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
And the reason for ranking them, because it's not just because I like the person. I had already ranked the people that you sent us. And I already selected them based on their education, their experience, their skills, their energy level, based on what they say they have done. The presence, I was waiting on to see them,
right.
You know. Age, the view, obviously I wasn't going to ask them how old they are. I can tell by the number of years they have worked, but also by their look. And different other questions that I rank people on when I'm hiring them. So, you know, I already know what I like about the ones that we're going to interview.
Madam
and
Chair.
Then they're just going to confirm it to me as I talk to them.
Madam
I
Chair.
I think we should be prepared somewhat, not come in cold.
Yeah, and if I may, I mean, I like what Elton just said, because we all do the same thing. But I think with the questions that Carl most likely will provide to us, getting those answers for them is what's going to help them go, okay, you know, this one, and we might have rated them already, but once we hear them answering certain questions, because you'll have the questions that are normally asked, which
and
is
the way
right
they
way.
Answer.
And, yeah, and the way they answer, and that will it will give you. I mean, I've gone through it three times, and normally you go in going, I don't know who I'm going to pick, but through the questioning, it starts giving you, okay, this one is up here, this one is there, and you start ranking them. Before you know it, at the end of the interview, you know exactly the order that you have them.
And the interesting thing is, I think you need, we will find the person that we can work with.
Oh yeah,
right.
Because there's
that's the how.
That's
how.
Yeah, there's going to be so many people that are worthy. I mean, you're worth hiring. That if we feel they're arrogant, or if we don't feel that they care about us, that we're going to listen to us, but they, whatever. And it could be these people who have been working with mayors and city commissions are going to have a completely different attitude towards working with the board because they're not used to it.
Right. But I always like to reserve, because I like to be an observer, but if I hear something, I've got a question I'd like to ask.
Yeah.
Because if I hear something, I've been doing this too long in this industry, somebody says something, I go, wait a minute, time.
Yeah.
You said this and this happened back here. Tell me how this fits. I think I can help with those kinds of things that will then help you to say, he explained it, she didn't, whatever.
So you're figuring if you need to throw in a question in the middle of it, you can.
Yep.
Okay.
I like to reserve that because.
Does anybody here have a problem with that?
No, I think that'll help us.
No, okay. I want to make sure the board's okay with that.
And don't forget, a piece of paper can take anything. You can put anything in a piece of paper, make it look really good. Is when you have them in front of you and you're asking them those questions.
You've had a guy here for 36 years. You need to be comfortable with this person's going to be here and do the job for as long as you want. And some of it's just going to be guts. I mean, you're going to look at this person and say, I don't care how good it looks on paper. I don't believe it. That's a valid reason. Right there. Because if you can't on the next board meeting get comfortable, it's not going to work.
Okay, any other discussion? Jim, would you like to say something?
A couple clarifications. One, you were talking back and forth, and I wasn't quite sure where we ended up. Do you want me in the interview room?
No, they said no.
No. Okay. Number two, you see we have our police officer with us here today, as we've had a lot of our meetings or all of our meetings recently because of concerns about security. Do you want them at all the special meetings?
I don't see a problem.
I don't think so.
I don't suspect.
No.
I don't suspect a lot of the public's going to come.
No. We have.
So we don't need that.
I don't think so. Not for this.
But you do. But you do.
Protect us from you, Carl.
But you do want.
Or from each other.
You might need to contain me.
but you would like a security. But you would or would not like a security officer back at regular meetings?
Well, we've got the president.
I think you should. I think you should.
Regular meetings is good.
I
think he should be downstairs.
Of course, I just want to point out, down at the end of the table here, you've got one of the finest law enforcement officers in the nation here that can leap a single staircase in a single bound.
Wilbur, you're doing cheerleading, or what are you doing over there?
Well, single bound man over there.
No. We'll have a security officer at the regular meeting.
Round table and make sure there's enough so that we're not right on top of each other. But we
And you don't want them feeling like they can see your notes.
Yeah, just kind of make it a big circle.
I said this before, and I want to bring it back again. Personally, I don't think Jim should be here with the candidates from that work for KUA. Personally, I believe that he should be for the ones from the outside, even though he's not going to be asking questions. But, remember, we have a CEO president here that's been here, 36 years. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of experience sitting right there. He's not going to say a word, but he might be able to tell us something differently at the end that can help us on certain things that we might not know. I'm the mayor of the city. I don't know everything about KUA. He does. So just my opinion.
I think it puts him in a very uncomfortable position if he's here for four and not here for four. I don't know how we say to our VPs, we didn't want him here when you were being asked questions, but we thought he could advise us when somebody else was. So
I think if we're doing one, if we don't do one, we don't do the other. Just, we've already made that decision. And
in all the interviews that I've done in my work history, you try to have the playing field equal for every single candidate. So the same group of people should be here for all interviews, whatever it's determined.
What you might, as an option, I'm not necessarily recommending you, but after you're done with an external candidate, they can go meet with Jim, because they may have questions that you can't answer, that he can't.
See, that I don't agree on.
You don't like that?
That I don't agree on.
I don't either. I think this is a going forward type of decision we're making.
And personally, on interviews, what you're supposed to do is make sure you ask the same questions that is given to one to the others. But I've had interviews where I've had different staff in interviews, and I don't think staff, and I'm not a lawyer, I don't think staff has to do anything with an interview. It's those type of questions that you ask them that you have to make sure you ask everyone the same questions and be fair to all of them.
Well, that's part of your level plan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should I assume that if one of these four people outside the system wants to know about KUA and ask questions, they can ask you to the extent that you know answers?
To the extent I can.
Or call Jim?
They could.
Or call Joe, whoever, if he knows something about it.
They better be prepared before they come get here.
Mm-hmm. Well, they will be prepared, but there's all kinds of things that they could ask a question.
Right, right. And I assume that our doors have to be open, that they can access whoever is willing to talk to them.
I'm sorry, I asked the question.
Well, I think we'll do it the way we do candidates for the board, or will we not? We'll have times they'll be downstairs and bring up the ones that we're talking to, then they'll leave, and then the other one will come in. So,
I would target, space them about 2 hours apart, target about 90 minutes for interviews and 30 minutes for in case you run over or take a bio break. Or
2 hours?
Whatever. Schedule 2 hours apart.
So two in the morning and two in the afternoon.
If you have time, which you probably will with 2 hours, I've always found it helpful to at least right after you interview this person, share with each other a debriefing.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good point.
You don't be tight doing 4 a day.
I heard that. you know, just to.
Because at the end of that 2 days, you're going to be looking back at eight, and you're going to, if you're not careful, you're.
You'll forget who said what.
Yeah, that's.
Or you're going to forget that something God said that somebody else caught on, but if they point it out to you, you're going to say, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because we have different personalities up here. It's great because some people catch things that we don't catch, and I think we have a really good board of people who.
Can we record the interview?
I'm sure, why not?
It's being recorded.
Can you what?
Our meetings are recorded.
Your meetings, including this one, are recorded and broadcast.
I know. I'm talking about notice, my phone.
Can she record it?
I can put my phone and record.
Well, you can, but if you want, we can provide you with the recording immediately after the meeting, can't we, Letitia?
Immediately after the interview.
We'll discuss it right away.
Yeah.
She wants it right after the interview.
Can she do that?
I don't know why you'd want to, but because you're not going to be able to replay an hour.
Just be very careful. Don't pass a note to one of your fellow board members. If you want to say something, you have to say it on the record. Don't whisper in their ear. Don't lean over or make a gesture. If you want to say something, it's got to be captured in the public.
My husband got caught passing a note a long time ago.
You talked to him about that.
He did when he was mayor.
I thought it was to you. Like,
no.
Got caught by your parents.
No, it was one of the commissioners. talking about it. Hey, the city
has to give their permission.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is within the school system.
Law without a licensure.
No, but you're right. That's a good point. We need to tell them as they're being interviewed that this is being codified.
Well, Carl, can't you just tell everybody so they don't have to show up if they don't agree with that?
They had to agree with this being like this public discussion before we. I said, once I send this resume, it's no longer.
Yeah, well, they're being recorded. That they need to be informed of that.
And fed live.
So what's that?
It's live feed.
Yeah.
You know, they want to go, like Kathleen said, if they want to go downstairs and they can listen, hear our discussion to the next interview and our discussion, they can. So.
And Carl, I don't know how you know with Florida laws, but if somebody says, well, should I watch that? You can in no way dissuade them from it without breaking the.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remember that when they hired Jacob at FMBA. It was live feed, open meeting.
I hope we don't hold back our opinions just because of that. I want everybody to feel that this is your job and you need to be honest with your opinions. I don't think that's going to be a problem.
I don't think it's any different than a regular board meeting. We're being recorded anyway.
Somebody gets mad.
I was going to advise you people to come out of your shell and don't be so.
And then they get quiet.
Well, and I shut down.
You can watch my city commission meeting.
The only thing is, if we're getting into deep water with personnel issues, and then we have to trust that you two guys.
Well, I'm sure one of us will jump up. One of the three of us will.
One of us is going to say, let me rephrase that question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you want to?
Yes. Okay. Is there anything else to discuss? Have we covered everything? Are we organized, ready to go?
We're
lost, but we're on together.
You do want me at all meetings where you're not doing the interviews, though, right? Is that correct?
Are we having any other meetings besides where we're...
Well, you're having one on the 13th to discuss the interviews.
Oh, yep. Okay.
And then you're having one on the 21st to discuss contract negotiations.
Do you think there needs to be a second round of interviews if you get it down to the top 3 to 5?
If you can't make up your mind, yeah. Be a good
there
idea.
Has to be.
You got your mind made up. Why waste people's time?
If all of you interview and you say, this is my number one, boom, it's all of you, I would say.
No need for
it. Last time you had a unanimous decision?
All the time. Most of our decisions are unanimous, but they're not quite the same.
All I got to say... I'm taking this real serious. This is so serious for me that because I know it's going to affect the board way after I'm even off the board. That if you recall, last month I said that I wasn't going to be here because I had a commitment already from last year that I had set up in Puerto Rico. Well, I actually was able to cancel, very understanding wife for 51 years, mm-hmm. and being retired helps. And I was able to reschedule all the contracts and everything because I thought it was important. I didn't want to take a chance to put it on and be on a video where I got problems with that. It's hard to read people when you're not in person to person. So I thought it was so important that I be here in person. So I just want to say that I will be here for the...
I appreciate that, Manny. Thank you so much.
For the meetings.
And shall we send your wife flowers?
I have one request. Can we get the questions before our February board meeting? So at the end of that board meeting, if we have any things we want to discuss before the actual interviews, we've got them in hand.
When's your February board meeting?
6.
Yeah, you can have it before that. Okay.
I'll do it next week. Yeah. I'll make an agenda item for you.
And one of the board members ask if I could attend that meeting. Do y'all want me to get that meeting or not?
If you're discussing anything to do with the recruitment process and you need legal advice other than the in-house person that's reclused himself from this process.
And it's probably more vital than some of the others if we're talking about questions.
I plan on being here, but I'm just not sure.
Yeah.
Even though I don't have a key to the room back here.
Jan, if you're good to me.
Anything else?
I'd just like to say one thing. Just observing the process here, it's really been a great experience for me. I've never been in, like, on this side of a process like this, and it's very interesting. And I'm very impressed with the seriousness that each one of the board members is taking this, the work you're going through. I'm impressed with the list that Carl has provided us, and I think I've told a couple of you, my prediction is that I'm impressed with your open-mindedness, and I see in each and every one of you the desire to get the best candidate for the job, period. No other criteria is there, and with the minds that we have here and with your commitment, my prediction is that you're gonna make a great selection, and the person that you select, I told Carl this tongue in cheek, is really gonna show me up. Of course, that might not take much, but I'll make another prediction. They're gonna outshine what the nice things that people have been saying about me to my face, which they may not say when they're not in my face, and they're gonna outshine that. They're gonna have a great leadership based on the job you're doing. But don't give up, it's a hard job. Keep at it.
Thank you for the nice work, but I'm not gonna be here 7 years from now to know.
I didn't say outlast, just outshine.
If that's it, meeting's adjourned.